welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at @RedRock_BBall, Facebook.com/RedRockBasketball, email RedRockFantasyBasketball@gmail.com, and of course the YouTube channel, which you can find the link to in my Twitter profile, on the website, on Facebook. You'll see links to it all over the place. So I do encourage you to subscribe to that. Make sure you've checked out the videos on there, as well as the video I put up there with the top seven unsigned NBA draft picks for Fantasy League. So check that one out. Back again now with another of the Season in Review podcasts. Today, I'm going to be tackling the Washington Wizards. He's a pinball wizard that has to be a twist. A pinball wizard's got such a stuff for it. Ah, yes. The Washington Wizards, coached by coaching savant Randy Whitman, who, let's be honest, surprised everybody with the way that he got his team to play in the playoffs, the way that he ran his rotations, the way that he actually just completely changed the team. Let's go small. Let's start hitting threes when that's just not something that he did all season. And shockingly, Randy, shockingly, when you play your good players and you play the style of basketball that actually works, who knew that you'd win and you'd played well? It's amazing. I've been calling for it all season, and I'm going to talk about it today. But Otto Porter was a big factor in that, and Randy Whitman finally woke up, started hitting three balls for the whole team, and it really was a good awakening for this team. So I don't think Whitman's a good coach, but it was a very good move that was probably 2 years overdue for him to make that sort of adjustment. But he did it, and it worked out well for them. Let's start with the point guards, and we start with the Washington Wizards' best player, John Wall. Actually, before we start with him, I had a question that regards John Wall. Came in from Barry Baker, who's a prolific Twitter question asker. So thank you, Barry. He goes, I know they are both relatively young, but do you see Bradley Beal becoming John Wall's successor in the future? Barry, they are both young. And Beal was fantastic in the playoffs. He's not John Wall's successor. He's not a point guard under any stretch. Those two will play together and form a pretty decent backcourt for the next 10 seasons. There's not that much of an age difference, and they play slightly different positions. So we'll get that question out of the way early on. Let's talk about Wall and the kind of season that he had. From a fantasy point of view, he was the fifth player overall in roto value. That's obviously very good. Some of that value comes from the fact that he played 79 games. His head-to-head total value was 9th per game, 17th. Not 17th, sorry, 13th. 17th was his post-All-Star break. So he's slightly a worse player in head-to-head leagues. Marginal. He's a first-round pick. Should have been a first-round pick this year. Even though he finished 13th per game, he is pretty reliable with his injuries. 82 and 79 games the last two seasons. Before that, maybe not so much. But he's been pretty good the last two seasons, playing 36 minutes a game in both of those seasons. And at the end of the first round, he's a decent pick. I probably wouldn't pick him inside the top 10. I think he's more of a 11 to 12 to 15 sort of range player. But 17.5 points, 10 assists, that's where a bulk of his value is. But 1.7 steals as well, 4.5 rebounds, which is a good number for a point guard. The thing he really needs to get going is his three-pointers, which dropped off last season. It was 1.3 the year before. Last year, only 0.8. Maybe if Randy Whitman sees that three-pointers actually work and Wall can start hitting them at a bit better of a clip, only 30% last season. If he just gets it up to 1.2, 1.3, that's a decent amount. He needs to be over one to have a real impact in that category in fantasy, and that would definitely bump him inside the top 10. There's not much more to say about John Wall, really. He is what he is. He's going to give us this. Look, there'll be marginal improvements, but this is what he is. He's that guy that, for the next 4 to 5 seasons, you'll comfortably find him in that, let's say 7 to 20 range of players, giving him a bit of a scope for regression and progression. 7 to 20 is probably his range. If you own him in dynasty leagues, that's what you can expect. You're not going to expect too much of a drop-off from him. He's only 24 years old, so he's still got a long way of his career to go. And he is obviously the driving force behind this team. And one of the key reasons that they probably lost that series to Atlanta was the fact that he was injured. If he was ready to go and ready to go fully without having any restriction, I think that he would have put up bigger numbers and they would have been a better team, because the situation behind him is not all that intriguing. And by intriguing, I mean good. Other point guards on this roster: Ramon Sessions is signed for one more season. He was good when given the chance. I think that's important to note. Per game, 365th. That's not ideal. I thought at some stage, well, a lot of people thought maybe he was going to challenge Darren Collison for the starting job in Sacramento, and he was playing more minutes and outplaying Collison in the preseason. After one game of the regular season, we saw that wasn't going to be the case when Collison started playing all the minutes and played really well. But yeah, in the preseason, he showed decent play. If we look at what he was able to do during the season, numbers-wise, it's only 6 points, 3 assists, 2.3 rebounds, and he's another guy who doesn't really hit three-pointers. His fantasy value was improved towards the end, 213th in the last month, as he came across to Washington and got a few more minutes. But overall, he's a backup with his team. Unless Wall gets injured, we know what Ramon Sessions is. And if Wall gets injured, he has a place in standard leagues. There's no doubt about that. But he's never going to be what more than what he is. He's never really going to be a starting point guard in this league. I don't think, again, by a team's choice, only as a backup would be where we see him sit. So, you know, you don't have to deal with him in too many leagues outside of 20-team leagues, 30-team leagues, that sort of situation. Even like 16 or 18-team leagues, I don't really think Ramon Sessions has too much of a role. Will Bynum, the other point guard on this roster, is an unrestricted free agent. Played 10 minutes a game, 7 games. He got 2.5 assists in those 10 minutes, so that's not too bad. And he is a guy who's prolific at getting assists, but overall, we don't need to worry about too much about him. He is the third string guy on this team. Let's transition into shooting guards. And Bradley Beal, another injury-plagued season for him. Much like Drew Holiday, who I talked about on the Pelicans podcast, these recurring issues with stress reactions in his leg are troublesome. He played just 63 games. And let's be honest, he wasn't as good as what he could have been even when he did play. The injuries obviously set him back in terms of his not only missing games, but in terms of his production when he does play. And that's obviously a concern. Overall, 15 points, which is a drop from the season before. We saw his three-pointers drop. His rebounds and assists were relatively the same. He now gets over a steal a game, which is something that's really important and he needs to do. And he got his field goal percentage up to 43. So 43% from a shooting guard. 78 from his free throws is all pretty good as well. But what's really good about Bradley Beal is the last two seasons, 40% from three and 41% from three this season. So he is a sharpshooter from out there. And only if he starts to only took 4 attempts a game from three, he needs to be up there 5, 5.5, 6 attempts a game. And then he could become a 2.5 three-pointer made a game guy, maybe 18 points. He can handle the ball. He can get 3 to 4 assists a game, 4 to 5 rebounds. I don't really know where he fits. I know Matt Smith, one of the guys, you know, Matt Smith, the co-host of the podcast sometimes, he's really high on Beal. Beal was 88th in per game value last season. I think he'll be higher than that next season. Some people are saying that he's a lock for a top 50 position. He's a chance for a top 50 position, I'll say that. I don't think he's a lock. I'm definitely not drafting him inside the top 50. But we saw, like a number of Wizards, a real breakouts in the playoffs for him. 23.5 points he scored in the playoffs this year. 5.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, 1.5 steals. He hit 2.3 triples a game. Now, those sort of numbers, they are top 50. Can he do it during the regular season without getting injured? I'm a little bit hesitant. So I think that I'd be taking him probably around that 55 to 65 range. In a dynasty league, though, I would definitely snap him up inside the top 50. I think he has to go there. He is going to get better. We've seen him get better. And the playoffs were a bit of a coming out party for Bradley Beal, as he looked at times the best player on the court, including when John Wall was there. So that is really interesting for him. That injury thing, though, is definitely worrying. Now, there are a couple other shooting guards on this team who really shouldn't be shooting guards on any team. Rasual Butler and Garrett Temple. Not fans of them at all. They had runs where they played well. Garrett Temple at the start of the season when Beal was injured, put up numbers inexplicably, ended the season with 4 points, 0.6 triples, and he does nothing else. 0.8 steals, but really, it's Garrett Temple. 288th in per-game value is a win for him, though, so if you did happen to have him in a real deep league, you got a bit of value. But towards the end of the season, he just wasn't playing, and that's pretty much the way it should be. Because he's not a talented enough guy to command a regular rotation spot. Same as Rasual Butler, who I'm shocked was even in the league, but he came out and he was just going bonkers at times. He ended up with 7.5 points in 20 minutes a game, over a three a game, 2.5 rebounds, 42-79, so percentage is not terrible. But again, they don't want to be relying on Garrett Temple and Rasual Butler to play these minutes. He was a 214th ranked Roto player, Butler. It's because he played 75 games, so that gave him a bit of a boost. I would love the Wizards to go and get a wing in the draft, or if they could, and this is wishful thinking, a guy I talked about in my unsigned draft picks video, Tomas Satoranski, I'd love for them to bring him over and have him play the backup one and backup two. That would be ideal, because he would be definitely better than Butler, Temple, and Ramon Sessions and Will Bynum. If he was able to come across, it might be a little bit of wishful thinking at this point, but it's something we can look at. Now, Reswell Butler is an unrestricted free agent next season, so we may not see him back. Garrett Temple has a $1 million player option. At the start of the season, would have been thinking he was going to decline that, but towards the end of the year, his play didn't really necessitate him thinking along those lines, so it'd be interesting to see how he approaches that. Martell Webster is a guy who is talented, more talented than both those guys, but has been ruined by injury. Only played 32 games and 11 minutes, 3.5 points, 1.5 rebounds. He shot 27% from the field, which is obviously pathetic. 467th in head-to-head rank per game. If he's healthy, he should be playing above those guys. In a dynasty league, he's going to be the last man on your roster, but he has the potential to become a top 200 player as the backup at the two. Yeah, playing, say, 18 minutes a game. He could become maybe top 250 sort of player, but he is more talented than those guys. So don't forget Martell Webster. Injuries have ruined him, though. The other problem with Martell Webster, the injuries were so bad this season, he did mention that he was considering retiring. So it might be a case where he actually doesn't come back to the NBA because of the injuries being too severe. Let's move on to the small forward position now, and I'm going to get excited talking about this position, definitely. We'll start with Paul Pierce, though, a player who... We know who Paul Pierce is. He's old, though, now. Played 73 games, only 26 minutes a game. 11.9 points, 1.5 threes, 4 rebounds, 45 and 78, 2 assists a game, which are okay numbers. They're okay. He's a very good roto player, 94th, but head-to-head, 168th per game. He just wasn't worth it for 10-team leagues. He wasn't worth it for 12-team leagues either because his minutes were so heavily restricted. And I think that trend's going to continue next season if he even plays. We think he'll play, but I mean, if he even plays for the Wizards, he has a player option. We've heard the rumors coming out about him looking to go to the Clippers. So Paul Pierce in standard leagues next season is not an ideal scenario to me. I don't think he's going to be any value in 12-team leagues, maybe 14-team leagues, and definitely his dynasty value is at the very, very end because he's maybe have one or two seasons left, if that. Now, he was really key in the playoffs, hit some big shots for Washington. They'd want to keep him on. Because of that ability, but he's not going to play big minutes. And the other reason they don't need him to play big minutes is because my boy Otto Porter stepped up to the plate in the playoffs. I've been high on Otto Porter for a long time. Not that he's been in the league a long time, but I've been calling for him to play more all season. Randy Whitman, being the genius that he is, denied my claims all season until he got to the playoffs when Porter really started to show what he's about. His per-game value, 301st for the season. Down the stretch, though, the last month, 221st, was getting a little bit more playing time. And then the playoffs really shone out. During the regular season, 6 points, half a three, 3 rebounds, 0.6 steals, 45 and 73%. They're not too bad numbers. They're not too exciting, though. But we look at what he did in the playoffs, and it's a huge change. He looked much more comfortable. 10 points a game, 8 rebounds a game, 1.2 steals a game. Very low turnover numbers. He hit over a three a game, at 38% from his three-pointers as well. His win shares in 10 games, he contributed 1 win, whereas over the season, he contributed 2.7 in the whole regular season. So he definitely stepped up his game. So that's one reason why I think the Wizards aren't going to need to rely on Paul Pierce. They were playing Pierce a lot at the four, and they were playing Porter 30-plus minutes off the bench in pretty much every game. And if Pierce does happen to go to the Clippers, which, as I said, has been rumored, Porter will start and he'll play big minutes and he'll be a really good fantasy player. If we can get 30 minutes out of Otto Porter, he's a 12-team league guy for sure, and I'd be doing whatever I can to acquire him in Dynasty. Not that I ever think he's going to be a top 30 player or anything like that, but he's going to be a comfortable top 70 player over the next 3 to 4 seasons, in my opinion. If you can get him at pretty decent value, I'd be doing it because I think that the time is right for him to start contributing and getting big point totals, threes, steals, rebounds, solid percentages. Can sometimes get assists. He's not necessarily the greatest at it, but he is a guy who can also block some shots as well. So Otto Porter is a guy that I'm tremendously high on. All right, let's talk big men on this team. I'm going to talk power forward, and it's a real not a good spot. Nene is Yeah, he's still there. He's got one season left at $13 million, which we all know that that's overpaying for Nene. 25 minutes a game in 67 games. He just doesn't do enough. 176th in per game value. That's not enough either. Per 36, 214th. 11 points, 5 rebounds, a steal, no blocks. 0.3 blocks a game is not good enough for a power forward. 51% and 60. Now, he can have games where he turns it on. He's just too injury prone and they rest him too often. And that's they'll be able to run Nene and Paul Pierce at the four and run some of these other guys out there like Chris Humphries and really limit his minutes, meaning we don't want anything to do with Nene for 12 team leagues, 10 team leagues, probably 14 team leagues either. There'll be stages where you want to run him in for 1 or 2 weeks when he gets hot, but he's not a guy that is going to be a must draft guy or anything like that. There's no reason to think he's going to get better for Dynasty League, so he falls out of the purview of the top 150 for the rest of his career, basically. Chris Humphries suffered some... He was good at the start of the season, but suffered some injuries that really curtailed his performance. He played 21 minutes a game, 8 and 6.5. Doesn't do much else. He's a points and rebounds guy. He's a good percentages guy as well. And 232 per game is not bad for a backup player. Definitely struggled down the stretch, and we saw that a bit with Otto Porter starting to get a bit more relevance, forcing changes in lineups, and Humphries playing limited minutes. But he is a valuable guy, especially on the glass. And if you're looking for rebounds, the last day of a head-to-head matchup, you want to swap someone in to try and get you some rebounds. He's always a pretty solid option for 5 or 6, even if it's in a bench role. And if he starts, 10 and 12 is not out of the realms of possibilities for Chris Humphries. Just the days of him being a double-double machine when he was with the then New Jersey Nets are probably over now, though. He's limited to being a backup big man, and that's fine. That's just what he is at this point. DeJuan Blair came across as a free agent from the Mavericks, played 29 games in 6 minutes a game, 1.9 points, 1.9 rebounds, and that's generally what he is an animal rebounding, but there's just not enough minutes for him here behind all these other talented players, 444th in per-game value. Drew Gooden, a player who is shockingly still in the league and is actually really, really useful when he gets on the court. He is an unrestricted free agent next season at 340th in head-to-head value per game. Not a lot to get too excited about with Drew Gooden, but like a lot of these players, when he gets a starting job, he can score, he can rebound, he can hit triples. He hit half a three in 17 minutes, 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, not much else. I've got another pet project on this team, and that's Kevin Serafin. Now, he is an unrestricted free agent. He wants to go somewhere and start, and I think that he has been robbed of minutes for a long time. The Wizards never seem to give him enough minutes. I'm a big fan of Kevin Serafin. 6.5 points, 3.5 rebounds, 0.7 blocks, 51 and 71 as his percentages in just 16 minutes last season. He played all 70, oh, not all, he played 79 games. I think that I know that if he's given a big enough role, he can thrive. His per 36 numbers, 15 points, 8.5 rebounds, 1.7 blocks. They're pretty good numbers. You look overall head to head per game, 250th. He just needs a role, and he'll be a guy that sneaks into the back end of 14 team leagues, maybe 12 team leagues. So he's someone I always want to keep an eye on. Let's go to the last player on this roster, Marcin Gortat, who disappointed. I'd say that's fair to say. But overall, his numbers were good. He played 82 games. He was the 29th overall player in head-to-head leagues because of those games played. Per game, 62. But the second half of the season, he really turned it on. He was 25th in per-game ranking after the All-Star break. Averaged 12.2 points for the season, 8.7 rebounds, 1.3 blocks, 57% from the field, 70 from the line. So he's definitely not a punt free throw guy. It's not ideal, but he's not a punt free throw guy. But we talk after the All-Star break, 13.5 and 10, 1.5 blocks, 62% shooting. They're really good numbers. Nobody is likely to take this job of him. Kevin Serafin wants the job, but I don't think they're going to give it to him in Washington. And Gooden, Hilario, Humphries, Blair, none of these guys are going to take Gortat's playing time away from him. That was one of the things I was critical about with Randy Whitman is the limited minutes he played Gortat. He only got just under 30 minutes a game. He should be playing 33 to 34 minutes a game. And then he's a guaranteed top 50 player. As it is at the moment, they said he finished 62nd per game. That's the sort of range that you draft him, between 50 and 65. He's probably got another 3 to 4 seasons in him at that sort of level. Actually, maybe not. I just checked his age. He's 31, so maybe he doesn't have that much left. Maybe another two or three seasons. in him at this top 100 level. So dynasty guys need to be careful because he is obviously a lot older than people think, a lot older than I thought. So that's something to be aware of. All right, that's it for the Washington Wizards. There is some fantasy gold here. Bradley Beal can explode next season. We know what John Wall is. Kevin Serafin, if he's in the right situation, can go big. And I really love Otto Porter. So make sure you're checking out all of those guys. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe on YouTube as well. Follow me on social media. And do all those good things like helping out the podcast by leaving reviews and all that sort of stuff. Telling your friends. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.